Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill this place with your presence, your truth, your insight, your protection, your beauty. Manifest the Lord Jesus among us, that we might be fed, cleansed, transformed, and made worthy to carry his name into all the world. We entrust ourselves to you now, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, in looking over the readings for this morning, I looked again at the Gospel, John 6, and I was aware that Father Chuck has been taking us through this passage for, I think, three different Sundays. And in asking the Lord what he wanted to say to us this morning, I was immediately drawn to the reading in the epistle, Ephesians 6. And I stand before you this morning with a real sense that God wants to speak to us about spiritual battle. Spiritual battle. So what can we say that would be helpful about spiritual battle? What is spiritual battle? Now, there are two components of spiritual battle. The first component is spiritual battle is an attack that is initiated from the powers of darkness. Now, we could say Satan, but the powers of darkness are greater than Satan. It's Satan and all those who are aligned with him. And we read this morning about authorities and rulers in the cosmic realm and whatever all these things are, they are all powers that are aligned with Satan. They are the powers of darkness. So that's the first thing that spiritual battle is all about. It's about an initiative, an attack that comes from the powers of darkness. Now, it's important in our theology and in our worldview to just understand that there is a great reality that is unseen. And that unseen reality is divided into two parts. One part is the part where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are located, and all those associated with them. Who is that? The angels. You know, I just love this part of our Eucharistic prayer. Joining our voices with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. The angel Gabriel is there. The angel Michael is there. All the angels are there. The mighty, glorious angels that worship God day and night. They're there. The saints are there. All those who are associated with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all part of unseen reality that is a part of the Trinity. Now, there's another part of unseen reality that is Satan and all of those that are divided, that are associated with him. So it's incredibly important that we are very aware of that, because if we are not aware of that, we will be victims, we will be recipients of the attacks of the darkness. So what is spiritual battle? An initiative that comes from an attack that comes from the spiritual darkness. Second part of the definition is to which we are responsible to respond. So that's our part. Our part is to respond. We have to know how to respond. How do we know how to respond? Jesus teaches us how. The scriptures teaches us how. Passages like the one that we read this morning teach us how to respond. Our job is to know how to respond. So, next question. How will I know when it's a spiritual attack? That's a great question. How will I know? What is from the devil and what is not from the devil? What is from the devil and is from just human causes, mine or others? How do we know that? Well, we can't give a complete answer to that right now, but three things to keep in mind. Number one, Satan's attacks, the attacks from the spiritual darkness, are primarily aimed at God's image bearers. So Satan is out to attack God. Now, this is the nature of evil. Satan is defeated. He already has been defeated. He will be defeated. The final outcome is not in question. It never was in question. But the highlight of all assurance that it's never in question is the cross. Because when the Son of God died on the cross, the powers of sin forever was broken. So Satan is a defeated foe, and he knows that. But he's going to do as much damage as he can before the end. That's the nature of evil. And spiritual attacks are aimed at God's image bearers. Satan can't attack God, but he can attack those who bear God's image. Who is that? Well, that's you and me. That's mankind. We are the image bearers. And so Satan has decided, look, I'm going to do as much damage to God as I can by doing as much damage to human beings as I can. So that's the work that Satan is in, doing damage to human beings. Satan was a murderer from the beginning. Now, the second thing to know, whether something is a spiritual attack, is Satan is deceitful. Satan is not all that smart. He does the same things over and over again. But he is very, very deceitful. And here is where we must constantly be on our guard, because Satan is seeking to deceive us. And the whole history of the followers of Jesus is a history that is permeated by people who self-identify as Christians who have been just simply deceived by the devil. So the attacks, the initiatives that come from Satan are deceitful. They are especially, how can Satan damage human beings? They are especially aimed at our relationships. And particularly in our relationships in the family and in the church. The family and the church. These are two groups. We are created in God's image. God is a community. God is a community of persons. God is relational. He created us to be relational. He gave us two primary groups for our maturity, the family and the church. This is why Satan is attacking the family and the church. So anything that attacks the relationships in the family and in the church, it might be very deceptive. But we must stand against that immediately. Immediately. What destroys human beings more than disintegration of relationships in the family? It's wounding. People are wounded. Sometimes for the rest of their lives, if they haven't come to Jesus for his healing. What happens when relationships in the church are attacked and disintegrated and become ungodly? People are wounded. How do I know if it's spiritual attack? It's against God's image bearers, it's deceitful, and it's targeting human beings and human relationships. How do I respond? What do I do about all this? Well, the passage that we read this morning starts off, or it tells us how to respond. You know, this whole subject, of course, we could speak for weeks about this whole subject, so we're having to condense what, in light of what the time we have this morning. How do I respond? The number one way I respond is to stand. Did you see that in the reading this morning? We stand. You know, there was an incredibly influential Chinese leader in China in the first part of the 20th century, Watchman Nee. I don't know if you've come into contact with Watchman Nee. His co-worker in Singapore, by the way, was the very first Singaporean to visit us on the ship Logos in 1971. That's a tangent, George, come back. But Watchman Nee was an incredibly significant Christian leader in China in the first part of the 20th century, including the years that were under the communists. And he wrote a very well-known book, Sit, Walk, Stand. It's a synopsis of the Christian life. Sit. I start off my Christian life by being seated with Christ. So I receive from Christ all that he imparts to me. Sit. Second, walk. I have to walk. I can't just sit my whole Christian life. I have to walk. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So we walk in him the same way that we receive him. Stand. What is standing about? Standing is about how I respond to the attacks of the enemy. I stand. So that's how we respond. We stand. When we stand, this is really important, we allow God to do the fighting. So in spiritual battle, we don't fight. God fights. So here is the relationship. Here's God. Here is Satan. Satan has no, there's no competition there between God and Satan. Then here's man, men and women. We don't want to get involved in fighting Satan. That's a dangerous business. That often comes out of arrogance and being out of touch with our own vulnerabilities. So we don't want to get involved in fighting with Satan. Who is the one that fights with Satan? God, the Lion of Judah, is the one to fight Satan. We stand back and let him do the fighting. To initiate can be very dangerous. You know, there's some people who like to talk to Satan. If you're one of those people, you know, I'm not suggesting a quarrel with you this morning. I'm just talking to myself. I have no desire to talk to Satan or his people. I want to talk to God and his people. So in prayer, I'm very, very careful to only speak to the Trinity. There is such power. We're going to talk about prayer in a minute, but there is such power in intentionally identifying ourselves with the Trinity, bringing ourselves under the covering of the Trinity. Because a really important part of spiritual battle, since we're not doing the battle, God is doing the battle, a really important part of spiritual battle is protection. What do fathers and mothers do for their children? They protect them. What do spiritual fathers and mothers do for the church? They protect the church. So we have to learn how to come under the protection of the Trinity. Do you notice how our liturgy begins? You know, the liturgy is so incredibly rich. This liturgy has come down to us through the centuries. This liturgy has been affirmed and confirmed through the experience of generation after generation after generation after generation of God's people. How does the liturgy begin? Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when we declare that, we are bringing the whole service under the protection of the Trinity. That's what that's all about. By the way, the Jewish equivalent, blessed be God, King of the universe. This is a key prayer that begins the liturgy in the synagogue. And of course, it's fascinating to think what parts of our liturgy are rooted in the liturgy of the synagogue. Because of course, in the first decades of the church, they were all Jews. They were worshiping in the synagogue. This is the root of our liturgy. I'm on another tangent, so come back, George. You know, Patrick's breastplate. Patrick's breastplate is in our hymnal, number 370. I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one. And one in three, can you hear the spiritual power of those words? I bind unto myself today. Patrick was involved in spiritual warfare. He was burning and destroying pagan, idolatrous worship places. He was very familiar with spiritual worship. And his theology and his words, whatever's come down to us, is so profoundly Trinitarian. So, how do I respond? I let God do the fighting. Here's the next point, really important. How do I initiate? If I'm not supposed to initiate, if God's the one that's doing the fighting, how do I respond? Well, I respond by preparing my defense. I respond by preparing my defense. If a city knows that it's going to be attacked, what does it do? It prepares. gather food into the city, build fortifications, prepare for the attack. So we initiate by preparing our defense, and that's what the armor of God is all about. These are our weapons for preparing our defense. I initiate by preparing my defense. So one great phrase in our reading this morning, stand firm, another great phrase, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. He is our strength. It's not our strength. It's not my strength. It's not how long I've been a Christian. It's not how many Bible verses I've memorized. It's not what wonderful words I know to pray. It's the Lord. He is our strength. So we learn to be strong in the Lord and put our defenses in place. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, I've got three of the weapons that I want to mention in closing. I got my eye on the clock. Lord, help me. The breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate. You know, you can see police. They're going into dangerous places. It's not unusual for them to have a bulletproof breastplate, is it? Breastplate of righteousness. It makes me think of discipleship. Jesus warned us, the one who does not learn to put into practice what I'm telling you is like the foolish man that built his house on the sand. The floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. So, brothers and sisters, the attacks are coming. If they haven't already come, they will come. And we prepare by becoming disciples of Jesus, walking in his ways, because the Christian life is not about what I do. The Christian life is about the person I am becoming. What kind of person am I becoming? Am I becoming the kind of person who can love my neighbor? Am I becoming the kind of person who's free from anger? Am I becoming the kind of person who's free from lust? Am I becoming the kind of person who is righteous in my dealings with money? Am I becoming that kind of person? You say, George, wow, how do I become that kind of person? Become a disciple of Jesus. That's how you become that kind of person. That's what discipleship is about. This is what God has told the church to do. This is what Jesus told the church to do. Make disciples. The last thing he said, make disciples. Are we doing it? Make disciples. The breastplate of righteousness. And just one other thing I want to say about the breastplate of righteousness. I think God spoke to me in the night about this. As I learn to become a disciple of Jesus, become the kind of person that he is, love becomes central. So one of the most powerful defenses against spiritual attack is love. You say, well, how do I become a loving person? So I'm going to tell you how to become a loving person. You want to know? Embrace the cross. Embrace the cross. The cross must not just be in the front of the church. The cross must be incarnated into my life as a follower of Jesus. And before I experience the cross, I am in the self-life. Self-life. The self-life. How many people who self-identify as Christians are actually living in the self-life? That's not a good place to be. You don't want to be there. On the other side of the cross, as I allow the cross to deal with the self-life, you know what emerges? Teresa of Avila called it this. The beauty of the human soul in grace. Wow. Teresa Bavala. The beauty of the human soul in grace. That's what the cross does. Makes us loving people. The shield of faith. Faith is not summing up as much energy as I possibly can to try to make myself believe that God will do what I want him to do. That's not faith. That's a self-life. What is faith? Faith is a choice. It's not an ability to believe. It's a choice to believe. I choose to believe. I choose to rely upon God in whatever he decides to allow to happen. I choose to rely upon God. You know, we just got an email from dear friends of ours for decades there in Christian work. Something has just happened to them that's awful, actually. Now they have to choose how they're going to respond. They have to choose to trust the Lord in this situation, that he's going to bring out of this that which is good and redemptive. And then pray always. Pray always. Oh, brothers and sisters, as Hannah and I get ready to go back to Germany, we're going back to Germany on September the 11th. Some people just really get nervous. You're going back on September the 11th. Can't you choose a better date? Well, the tickets were cheaper on September the 11th. And we don't mind, because we have something greater in our lives than whatever the date September the 11th might mean to somebody. And we're happy to pay the lower price. I want to say, we're not going till September the 11th, so we're not going tomorrow. Thank you for your prayers. We are going into harm's way. I think we're doing damage to the powers of darkness, and I don't think they like it. I think we're in a vulnerable place when we go to Germany. You know, in America, if somebody says, you got to get your pills. Where are you going? Where are we going to Germany? Oh, how wonderful. No clue. It is wonderful, but not in the ways that people understand. We're going into harm's way. Jesus is sending us. Thank you for your prayers, Christ Church Anglican. Thank you for your prayers. We are sustained by your prayers. We are protected by your prayers. We are encouraged by your prayers. We are so blessed by you. Thank you. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, seal these truths to our heart. Mature us in Christ. Make us a parish that is mature and effective in the midst of the spiritual battle in which we find ourselves. We pray in Jesus' name.